to Matthew 6. I'm going to talk about the supply for a minute and our part in it. We play a part. We have a part to play this first service of the new year. In the unity that is so important. On the way to church this morning, I looked down and realized we went on a trip. We went to see my mom, and I guess that to go see my mom who stayed at my sister's house in Seneca, that round trip is about what my Honda can handle on a full tank, because I looked at my gas needle and that thing was begging for me to pull over. And I pulled over just in time. And it hit me just like that. You know, this is a NASCAR. I don't know that we have big NASCAR fans in here. Do we have NASCAR fans, though? Don, for sure. And man, Don, you guys, God bless you. I know that there was a big loss in the NASCAR world. Tragic, a whole family, the Biffle family. I mean, that's just so tragic. But I was just thinking as I was filling up my gas how long it was taking, because I was like, it takes longer when you run out. You'll be later if you run out to pull over and get some gas. And as I was letting the pump run, I got back in the car while the pump was running because it was warm in the car. And I just told my wife, I said, you know something funny? I said, I was just thinking about unity. And I said, in the time I'm here pulled over to try to fill my gas tank real quick, and I guess filling it quick was on my mind. You hear it running. I was trying to do it quick, and I said, in the time that it would take me to jump out of my car and swipe my card, in that much time, a pit crew can fill a tank of gas, change four tires, and wipe off the windshield and send them on their way. That's unity. That's the power of unity. That's strength in unity. The Bible says one can put 1,000 to flight. It says two can put 10,000 to flight. That's one of those multiple of way more than 10 actions right there. If men can speed things up by 10 with a little bit of unity, how much more can God, who claims that power? Amen? Matthew chapter 6, look at verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Look at your neighbor and say, you're better than a bird. You're better than a bird. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I've got one of those knocked out when it says Don't worry about what you eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. I don't worry about that one, the one about what you wear. And those ladies in my house can attest to that. We were going to see my mom. Nobody else's mom but my mom. Mine. We were going to travel to Seneca, so 3 hours, I wanted to be comfortable. So I put on what was comfortable, and Christine walked in the room, and she said, John. She said, no. And I said, what? I already knew. I could feel it coming. She said, you got to change. I said, which part? She said, all of it. She did like, all of it. All of it. Now, I'll throw this. This may not even be appropriate. My mother has dementia. She's not even going to remember what I wear. And it's my mom. Why can't I wear what I want to wear to be comfortable? I should have just broke the scripture out on her, but I didn't. Sometimes I even make me laugh when I leave. We've got a mirror. Have you all got a front door mirror that, like, last chance mirror, like, sometimes I look at that and I'm like, oh my gosh, she's right. I am not talented in that area. But we are to seek the kingdom of God first. He knows the things that we need, and he'll add all those things to us. And what he is able to do, we put a lot of focus on what we think needs to happen or how we need to arrange things. And I looked at some feathers today. I love feathers. I've got a couple of things in my house with feathers. And I look at the order of those feathers and how God laid those feathers out. And it shows me there's a God. And he sees and he knows. He knows what this animal needs to be able to not just live in the daytime, but live at night on a branch or in a nest and or wherever he has that animal. I saw where they've discovered another little bug that has wings to mess with people that they're smart enough scientifically to figure some things out. But one of the big things is whenever something has purpose and they can't attach chance to that. And it's a bug who on its wings has the perfect layout. I mean, it looks just like 6 legs, a thorax. It looks just like an ant. And God made them that way. And it couldn't happen just by chance that they evolved into that. It was something that God did. And again, speaking to somebody this morning, they said, you know, one of my family members said to me, I don't believe in God anymore. And she said, well, I said right back to them what she said. And I said, you know, you hear people, more and more people are more bold in their stance. They are. Whether they are for God, against God, believe in God, don't believe in God. I said, then your loved one has superseded the devil because the devil believes in God. Think about that one. I thought that was a good one. Just saying. There is a supply that comes from God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. All these things will be added to you. He knows what you already need before you even ask him. But there is a supply that comes from him. And it's not just a supply, it's a full supply. Amen. It's a full supply. And when you think about the word supply, if you took it in its subjective sense, then the supply would be the giver. If you took it in its objective sense, the supply would be the gift. And in the case of God, God is the giver of the gift, and he is the gift that is given. He is both. The giver is the gift, and the gift is the giver. There's no one like God. Amen. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 1 through 6. I'll show you something right there. Ephesians 4, verse 1 through 6, it says this. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I just prayed that. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Skip down to verse 11. And he himself, speaking of Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Jesus was the only one that could fill every one of those offices by himself. So he had to divide that up to give that to men so that that area would be covered. Verse 12, for he gave those apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. He gave those for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, or for the building up of the body of Christ. In other words, the body of Christ has to be built up. And it's built up through apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's us, so that the body is built up till we all come to the unity of the faith. So there's purpose in it. What he's doing is to reach a place of unity in the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So he gives a picture of the fullness of Christ and divides it out so that we can come into the fullness of Christ. There is no one that can have all of that gifting, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And truly, the church still doesn't understand a lot of that. I grew up understanding, a small understanding of pastors and teachers, and evangelists was something that when some guy came to town and preached hellfire and brimstone. Anybody ever been in a revival? Anybody ever been in a revival that lasted 2 weeks? My hand's going up 3 weeks. My hand's going up 4 weeks. My hand's going up 5 weeks. My hand's going up. Then the evangelist couldn't come. He had to go someplace else and preach for a week and then come back. And we picked it back up again. And I loved it because people brought fried chicken to church. And I loved it. I loved it. Matter of fact, that very evangelist, asked me one Sunday afternoon. He knew I loved outdoors. And I think I was 16 or 17 years old. And my dad was the pastor, and my dad's sitting there, and that evangelist looked at me and said, John, he said, could you get your hands on a few fresh fish for the sermon tonight? I said, you talking about live fish? He said, yes. I looked at my dad like, see, we got to take care of the evangelist. I looked at my dad, and he looked back. He said, I guess you can go fishing, John. I was like, on a Sunday afternoon. The Lord was in it. I'm telling you, he was all in it. I caught fish. I brought them back. And the man didn't even preach on my fish. But I said, hey, I'm not mad. But I got to do that. So I remember those days, okay? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. But somewhere along the way, because we only understood church, we didn't understand kingdom. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. He gave all of that. Those are all functions of him. And so we need to know what some of those things mean. And I'm not talking about that this morning. I'm just saying that we have limited ourselves. We have not come to the full unity because we don't, and the knowledge because there's just things that we don't know. See, we had an incredible time yesterday. Bible study time, but actually just taking the Bible. And have you ever asked yourself where it came from? How did we get it? How did it get on paper? I mean, where did it come from? Who wrote it? Well, we've been talking about that, and we're going to talk about that the next four Saturdays, and it was just so wonderful. But it's on purpose, so that we can have these things, so that we can be built up, so that we can know what we believe, so we can know why we believe it. That we should no longer, verse 14, be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men. There's something to that. It doesn't even say Satan. It says the trickery of men. And the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. Say, Christ is the head. Christ is the head. This we know. From who? And this is the verse I've been trying to get through. From whom the whole body. Say, that's us. Look at your neighbor. Say, you included. Joined. Look at this, look how he describes. We know that Christ is the head, but look at how he describes the body. He says that it is joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. There's something to be said for us coming together. And it should produce something. And what that scripture talks about is that there is a supply that takes place. And it gives the example of like a human body. You have joints in your body because that's where you needed a joint. Your elbow does that because God said it needs to do that right there. Your fingers do that. You have digits. You have joints. You have ligaments, you have tendons, you have muscles, you have fibers, you have blood, you have skin, you have organs, you have all of these things. And he gives us a picture of a head, and he said, that's me. The head is me, but the body is you. And you don't get anywhere unless your head tells you to get there. And we understand that. We understand that. That he is the head and that we are the body. But the body, I want you to understand according to this, everything does come from God. But he uses us in the equation for the supply. He does. In other words, you've got something that the person beside you in this building needs. And the person beside you in this building has something that you need. And you need something that I've got. And I need something that you've got. And we're all under the head. And when we do that together, I mean, the first Sunday of a new year, it's a great time to think about those things. It matters. It matters. Can't imagine going someplace without my elbow. I need it. You need every part in your body. The Bible talks about that we are one as he is one, and we're a part of the body. But it says this, every joint supplies. So, there is a place where the body, who is supplied by the head, supplies or becomes a vessel to the rest of the body. And that is in Christ, because we are the body of Christ. The body is supplied by the head. But the body also has inner dealings with other parts of the body that are truly necessary. It is true. And inside of all of that, and through all of that, we were able to receive a benefit of that. Just like we took advantage of a couple of minutes ago. I did not want to lose that opportunity for us to have the working of the body on display, praying for each other. Do you know if you've got a problem with somebody, and tell you how you can help out that situation? Pray for that person. It's going to be hard to pray for somebody and have a problem with somebody at the same time. One of those areas is going to have to give a little bit. It just is. We are the body of Christ. The body of Christ is supplied by the head. Each one does his part. You have something I need. I have something you need. And the Holy Spirit, who is the full supply, works both individually and collectively with his ministrations. Word ministration means the provision of assistance or care. So the Holy Spirit can work individually for you. If you have an area in your body where you need assistance or care, the Holy Spirit can work individually for you. And he can also work collectively. When we have areas that we need assistance and care in, he works collectively for that. Now, last scripture. One page, I think, is as far as you're going to have to turn. There's a possibility, depending on which Bible you've got, you might have to turn two pages. But from where you're at right now, just turn one or two pages and you will find Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. This is very interesting to me what's going on. Philippians 1, 19 and 20. Paul said this. He said, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance." We just sang about that. "This will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death." What's going on right here is Paul is saying, I'm thankful for the people, and that Jesus is being preached, but he's being preached in contentions, and he's also being preached by people who have the right heart, and this is what he says about it. Jesus is being preached. Can I tell you the many spankings that I've received out of that passage of Scripture? Because I am passionate about the Word of the Lord, and I'm is equally passionate about it being correct. And I can't stand to hear a preacher take the word and use it for his advantage. But Paul said to that effect, he said, Jesus is being preached. And I'm like, oh, Paul, can we go get a hot dog and talk about that one day in heaven? I don't understand that. And what he's saying is that He would sit down and he'd take a bite out of his hot dog, and maybe he'd invite John the Baptist, and John the Baptist would be eating a locust and dipping it in honey and say, "John, don't worry about it." I thought that would be funny, but it's not. But he'd say, "John, you're wasting time worrying about something that he sees and he knows." And that's a word for somebody right there. If Jesus being preached out of strife, contention, and selfish ambition, Paul could say, "Don't worry about it. Jesus was preached." That puts the power of Jesus out there. And he says that's that. What he's saying is that's enough right there. So that's a whole other thing. That little section right there that I just said to you, that was just for me, to encourage me to move on. Because I'm telling you, it bothers me. It bothers me for that to happen. What I want you to gain out of that is that Paul is saying that I'm in prison right now. He said, I'm in prison. He said, but it's working out. He said, the whole palace guard. Have you ever heard the word praetorium? That's the palace guard. He said, the whole praetorium, the whole prison guard, they're getting it. I'm in here on assignment. Could you imagine being cast into prison and then having that attitude and said, God's getting glory out of it? And Paul said, I don't even know if I'm going to stay or go. I'd rather just go ahead and go. But I guess I'll stay because I'm being used right here. That's just, it blows my mind to have that level of trust in what God is doing in our lives. And I want each one of us to have that level of trust in God, who supplies all of our need. He's not just the giver of the gift. He is the gift himself. And the gift that he gives is himself. So this is what he's talking about. And the reason I've said it, because it's like back to back in those pages. He's saying that as the body of Christ, we supply something. We supply something. And we receive something. For just like John has said, an exchange. There's an exchange that should take place. If you need something, I should be happy to give it to you. If I need something, I should be happy to receive it from you, right? And he calls that a supply. And we take a part in that supply. And then on the next page, he's talking about being in prison. And he says, hey, I am sure that what I'm going through, that I'm going to be delivered through this. And then he tags this. He said, because of your prayers. Well, tell me prayers aren't powerful. He said, but he said, because of your prayers. So he includes your prayers and attaches them to this. It's like a document with an addendum with your name on it. It's like you open up the file and then you find out. I mean, I'm talking like I know something. Y'all should see me on a computer. It's horrible. But I get the principle of the thing. There's a document, and then there's something else that I can open up. That's an attachment to it. And he attaches this to our prayers. He said, I'm sure that I'm going to be delivered out of this because of your prayers and what? What else does he say? And the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Doesn't he say that? Okay. Some of you know Greek. And I wanted to concentrate on that one word, supply. Because there's a supply that we give each other and we receive from each other. But there's another supply that taps into the Spirit of God. That is a full supply where everything you need, he already has for you. But situationally, we can miss it. And that's why from time to time we have to pray about anxieties and fears that slip in. Let me tell you this. Your anxieties and your fears have nothing to do with the limitless power of God, but it can block you from receiving the limitless power of God. You remember when Jesus said he couldn't do many miracles in certain places because of their unbelief? Doubt and fear slips in, and that can render things ineffective. And it's something that we miss out on because we're not seeing it the right way. So back to this. We're supposed to supply each other. You've got something I need. I've got something you need. You've got something she needs. He needs something. He's got it. She's got it. We've all got it. And then he says this. He said, so that's one aspect of the supplier. That's one. Through him, we are a part of his body. I mean, it's got to be through him. If he's the head and we supply, and we're a part of that supply. It's actually His supply. And we're able to do things now as believers that we wouldn't do before. Why? Because selfishness. Why would I help you? Go do the best you can. Do work it out, man. Hey, I have to work for everything I've got. But because of Christ inside of us, we help each other. Does that make sense? And then it moves on in the next book, Philippians, the very next book. He says this. He says, I'm in prison, and it's okay. And everybody around here is seeing that God is at work. And I don't know if I'm going to go on to heaven or if I'm going to stay here. But I know one thing, verse 19. I know that deliverance will come to me by your prayers. That's part of that supply. And the supply of the Spirit through Jesus Christ. So the Greek word supply. It's one of the craziest definitions, that word right there in that text. And it's only used in two places, and that's the two places right there. When it talks about the supply right there, two things it's talking about. It's talking about what we give for each other and then the supply that comes through the Spirit. And those two places, the gift is this. I'm sorry, the supply is this. It's going to sound crazy. On behalf of the choir is what that word means right there. The supply. You look it up. It's in, the one I use is more than anything, is Blue Letter Bible. The Greek word for that means on behalf of the choir. But then it, I found out where that came from. That root meaning, what that meant was that many, many, many years ago, there was a group of people that had come together and they had practiced for a performance for years. They had given their life together for this music that they were going to perform. And it came down to the time for the performance and they were going to travel and offer this performance. And before they could come to that last culmination and actually perform, they ran out of money. They ran out of money. And it was supposed to be the end of it. Now this is, I don't know how all the words got where they got, but this is how this word came into being. At the end of that, just before they shut everything up, because there was no more supply, they had to have money to do it, a benefactor stepped in, a very rich benefactor stepped in and made a huge contribution. Not just a huge contribution to fix it. It was such a contribution that the people did not even know how to spend all the money that the benefactor had given them. That's where they got that epikagio. That's where that word in the Greek came from, on behalf of the choir. And it's right there for that scripture. And that's what he's trying to get them to see, is that our prayers are valuable and that everything that we have collectively that comes from God, it is valuable. And he attaches it to it and says, I'm convinced, I'm not worried, that I'm going to be delivered by your prayers and the supply. In other words, the benefactor that steps in past every worry, past every supply that's run out, the one that steps in and says, but me. I'm convinced of this, that sometimes we have to get to that place where we thought that things were going to work out, and all of a sudden we hit a wall. But that's not the wall. There is a supply of the Spirit through Jesus Christ, our benefactor, that is for us. Amen. Amen. That's the importance of our unity. That's the importance of us being together. That he would take that and attach it. The commentary said that those that were around in that day would have even questioned why he used that word right there, because they knew where that word came from. Christine, will you come? They knew where that word came from, and they're like, what? Until they understood that, oh, as unto the choir that would have failed but was stepped in and every need was supplied. That's the promise of God, every need supplied. You know what the scripture says? But my God shall supply how much? All of what? Your need. According to what? His riches in glory. How? By Christ Jesus. There's the benefactor right there. It should take worry out of us. I know there's time that worry is going to come in. I know there's time that fear and doubt is going to come in. I've prayed for it in my own family members when I saw it, and they've prayed for me. There's been times in my life where I almost felt stricken with fear. Decisions, decisions, decisions. Can I tell you that you can trust God so much that he can even fix your bad decision? When you don't know what to do, has anybody, I know that we have, we've made decisions and we've sought God and we did not have a clear answer. And by faith, we literally, it was almost like throwing a dice, rolling the dice. And, well, we got to choose one. It's almost like blind, like, but that was actually what God was requiring at the time. And we couldn't see it until it was all over. And what looked like would have sank us, set us up for his blessing. That's who God is. That's who God is. And sometimes he has to take us to the end of what we think is the fix, when the fix is him, the head. Amen. Will you stand this morning?